Today, I want to talk about a few concepts that are actually quite important, but ones that typically go unnoticed, or at the very least, people don't talk about them much. They're definitely given short shrift overall, and that is the concept of time, people, and place. You know, the right time, people, and place. Now, usually you hear the phrase the right time and place. Well, people is important too. So we're going to go into some depth here on all three of these concepts because I think they are ultimately very decisive in life outcomes, because we talk a lot about life outcomes and what contributes to them or does not. So let's talk about the concept of the right time. Now, hypothetically, if you go back 500 years and you happen to be a farmer or a blacksmith or something along those lines, but you were really, really smart and capable, cognitively speaking, ask yourself what the opportunities would have been. Basically, you would have had zero opportunities to exercise your greater cognitive abilities. Maybe you had the equivalent of an IQ of 140, but 500 years ago, if you were tilling fields and having oxen plow and tending to a farm, that 140 IQ might have helped you out in some way, shape, or form in terms of optimizing yields, maybe from your produce or what have you, but in general, it would not have been very helpful. So, this is an extreme example, obviously, but time, the right time, is an important concept. Meaning, given any time in history or in your life, there may or may not be an opportunity for you to exercise your abilities or lack thereof. And in the case of the hypothetical blacksmith or farmer I mentioned, if he had been born later, for example, in the 21st century, he would have been able to make much better use of his greater cognitive abilities, in contrast to 500 years ago. So that's a basic explanation of what I mean by the right time. Now, we can transpose this, of course, to modern times, and obviously it's different, but even in the modern conception of time, I think there are very clear examples of the right time when people may or may not have been born and when opportunities may or may not have arisen. So one example I can bring to your attention is the absolute surplus of computer science students and information science students. These days, when you meet someone online and they're young and they're male, there's a very extremely high probability that they're studying computer science somewhere, someplace. And if they're not doing it yet, they want to, right? So I talk to people frequently, and lo and behold, they say, oh, I want to be a computer science student, or I am studying computer science. And here's the thing. These days, computer science is basically what back in the day, in my day, say 20, 25 years ago, business administration or business management was, economics to some lesser degree as well. Basically, the go-to thing you study when you just want a job. You're not especially interested in anything, but it makes sense because you think it's going to get you a solid, reliable wage. And frankly speaking, because of that, computer science is definitely, at least I'm told by actual computer scientists, facing a degree of oversaturation that it has never seen before. Now, what if you had been born during my time or a little bit later, and you had studied computer science in the late 90s or the early 2000s? Well, then the opportunities would have been much better and greater because A, the people studying at the time presumably would have been actually interested in the material. That's a minor point. And B, more important, more salient, is the fact that there was not a surplus in the market. Not everyone was studying computer science just to get a job. No, instead, you would get economic students, business management, this sort of thing. That was the boring, so to speak, I want a job subject that you studied at university back in the day. Now, it's very different, right? So that's another example of the right time and right place. If you're born now and want to study computer science, you're going to face a lot more competition, stiff competition. There are not as many jobs available. And the expectations are probably going to be, if anything, somewhat higher because, well, frankly speaking, there's so many people applying for these jobs. And so it goes. So the concept of the right time is a valid one, not just in the hypothetical I offered initially with the farmer with an IQ of 140, but also in the present time, right? The same is true of all kinds of things with respect to time. So, for example, online, if you were very risky and controversial, say between the years 2017 and 2021, well, you were much more likely to get into trouble because those days, the Wokarati, so to speak, were monitoring everything, and it was also the time of St. Floyd, for example. So right time is a very important concept, and one thing I need to underscore here, and it's true of basically all these concepts, is you don't have a lot of control over the right time. You're either sort of around at the right time or you're not. What about the right people? Look, a lot of people talk about the right time and place. Very few people talk about the right people. You see, the social reality that you exist in dictates a lot. Now, a lot of this is derivative of things like your genes, basically the way you look, your personality, your height. These are obviously factors, but they're also random factors that you just don't have a lot of control over. They're oftentimes just people you happen to know, your family happens to know, your friends with, whatever it might be, who provide avenues for you in life and function as support networks. And yes, it varies. Yes, you could have very, very bad genes and still be lucky in the social department. I've seen it happen multiple times. There is no one shoe size fits all when it comes to this sort of stuff. And guess what? Even if you have a lot of disadvantages, genetically speaking, if you have the right social network, that can help not fix it all, but ameliorate it. And on top of that, frankly speaking, social isolation makes everything a lot harder to take care of and engage in. I'm sure many of you have had this experience, like going to the gym when you have a training partner, right? You unironically become stronger on some level, right? And it's not because necessarily he's right there and he's going to spot you and prevent, hopefully, the barbell from crashing into your chest. It is the feeling that someone else is going there with you, who's participating in the same activity. It doesn't need to be weight training, obviously. It can be anything. And so basically cooperative social activities, which is part of knowing the right people, frankly speaking, that makes life a hell of a lot easier. And above all, it makes it easier to achieve your goals and accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. So getting back briefly to the Matthew effect or the Matthew principle, yeah, in a lot of those instances of the average Joes who fail repeatedly, oftentimes what leads to the failure is the lack of the right people. They don't have the right social connections. And if they're average Joes, so-called normies, it's not necessarily their looks that are interfering with this. It might just be bad luck in terms of not knowing the right people, not having the right connections. You all know the phrase, obviously, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, it holds true in life, and you can observe it everywhere you go. So the social connections you have are really important. Those are the right people. Knowing the right people can mean the difference between getting a job or not, being accepted into a larger group or not. And most importantly, in my view at least, getting the things done that you need to do or not. I know from personal experience, forcing myself to engage in exercise routines by nothing but the skin of my nape, so to speak, because no one is there to do it with me, no one is there to go rucking with me or whatever it might be, and that makes it that much harder. If I had a training partner, an exercise partner, it would be a lot easier because it would be a common thing we did, and it also would be reflexive because on the one day when you don't feel like you want to do anything, he'll push you and vice versa. So the right people is definitely a super important part of this formula. Now, the right place. Well, all of this is ultimately related to the right place, right? The right time, the right people, yes. But if you're not in the right place, it's probably the biggest contributing factor to A, the lack of the right people, and B, to some degree, the lack of the right time. So maybe you're really skilled, you're good looking, you have all these things going for you, but you were born, I don't know, on the outskirts of Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. What are you really going to do with that? Now, sure, these days, with things modernizing and even Mongolia being fairly modern by all accounts, you might be able to do something. And on top of that, given the internet and the fact that everything is basically global, maybe you could break out of your little bubble there. It's entirely possible. But generally speaking, your locality is a limitation. It imposes social limitations on you, i.e. the people you can get to know or not get to know. And it imposes temporal limitations on you too, because oftentimes, when it comes to technological developments, things do not arrive at every location in the same manner, in the same place. So something that might be really big and important in one neck of the woods in the world might not be in another neck of the woods. And that's especially true if you grow up in the third world or you grow up in a ghetto, basically. It's entirely possible, like I said, to have a lot of things going for you, looks, smarts, maybe even social skills. But if your environment, your immediate environment in terms of place and location, is not reciprocal towards that and cannot grant you the things that you would need to actually make use of your gifts, what are you going to do with that? And so that is probably ultimately the most limiting factor here. And it ties into the other ones I mentioned. If you want to be able to do something in life, to some degree, it really matters where you're born, where you grow up. Because sure, later on in life, obviously, assuming you can gain resources, assuming you can find your way through the world, as an adult, you could move to X location. You could leave the place you grew up. You could go someplace else. This is basically the classic story of the Midwestern boy or girl who has dreams of becoming a great actor, maybe on Broadway in New York or a movie star in Hollywood. And so they leave Dinglebunk, Kansas to chase their dreams or what have you, right? The problem here is that, as most of us know by now, the things that happen in your childhood to teenage years are the most important things that happen in your life. Basically, they determine so much of the rest of your life. And when it matters most, aside from the genetic stuff going on, and there's tons of that, the environmental stuff is the stuff you don't have a lot of control over when you're 5 or 10 or even 15. So the place thing really matters a lot more than people give it credit for. Yes, genes matter a ton. Yes, it matters in terms of other factors as well, but opportunities don't come from nothing. And if you can't crystallize the opportunities that your genes and your gifts would allow you to partake of, what's really the point? So the triumvirate of the right time, the right people, the right place, all of these play a super important role in determining life outcomes. And whether you wish to acknowledge it or not, these factors have played an important role in my life and your life as well. Your life could have been much better or much worse depending on the lack or the presence of the right time, the right people, and the right place. This stuff, of course, is meant to complement the obviously important genetic factors which dictate so much, because again, nothing exists in a vacuum. But in any event, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my generous donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel simply could not exist. And for that, I am forever more grateful. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, commenting, subscribing if you're not yet a sub, as well as sharing the video, it'd be much appreciated. It really helps out the channel. And if I'm still alive, I'll check you out next time. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Until then. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.